from Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of September, 1971. Chandler, right on a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of September, 1971. Channel 1 right on a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of September, 1971. Channel 1 right on a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of September, 1971. Channel 1 right on new reel, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of September, 1971. With Mamu. Channel 1 right. On a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of September, 1971. Channel 1 right on a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of September, 1971. Channel 1 right on a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of September, 1971.
Yeah. You know what, Emma? Oh! Little rice bag.
They give to me through my grandson's granddaughter in law, but I didn't.
You just kept them. Oh, that's. Yeah. Somebody did a lot of tying on that, didn't they?
You haven't been wound up lately, but I just got to thinking about my watch and wondering if I had taken it out and laid it on the dresser. I don't take it out and put it back in the box.
Well, you know, if I had taken it off and lay it around, I'd forget it. And I wind up without a watch. That's hot?
No.
Well, I knew I took it right out of the refrigerator and it shouldn't be hot. Oh. Yes, I'd imagine that refrigerator is just needs an adjustment.
There's something got to be done to it, I think you could.
And it just leaks a little bit across the top.
Good afternoon. Raymond says, I thought they taught school. I says, maybe they're part of the teaching ain't come in yet. And May, teach early in the morning, get home in the evening.
Just get a little air going.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh,
can't get that horse.
Can't get the bridle on.
Can't get down, I can't get though.
One's about as hard as the other.
Well, let me see.
Well, you
see
reckon
now.
You're going to have in the sick horses?
I
hope you don't.
Oh, they really had a time.
So the cows have got to go lacking now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the cows can't do anything. Those horses, they just out on a lark. Yes,
Well, now, if it had been Monday, because they were taking the holiday off, right?
That's right. Well, they thought it was Monday.
Yeah, they thought it.
They didn't. Wednesday.
That's right. But you know, they won't eat the cow's feed. So it was lucky. They just ate theirs.
Oh, it was theirs that got hold of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Man, I guess they think, well, we get to it one time, we won't get no more now for a while.
That reminds me, say.
They opened a plastic can that we keep their feet in. We keep it locked. It has a lock top on it. They got it open. Took out the paper bag that was in it, and ate it all.
Maybe they moved around.
Hope so.
Each one get a bite at it. Yeah. Like they always heard them, though.
Well, we heard them. We didn't hear them when they got out. I guess it was. Yeah, that's right. You would have thought we'd have heard them stomping around down there. Frank has had to do a lot of.
When I was talking to you today, you was up to helping Willie with some fencing and getting some wood out that they had cut, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then hadn't got it out. I didn't really want to get out before it got too wet back in there.
Is Willie still fencing up there?
Yes, sir. He works along on the fence. He's trying to get it all fenced so he can just let his cows have a big place and not be on his neighbor's fence all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bill Anderson, he's, I reckon, a pretty good neighbor, but when things go a little different from what he wants it to go. He wants it all changed. That's where his daddy was.
Anderson. Did his daddy live there?
No, sir. His daddy's been dead long time. This Bill Anderson, you know, that lives that close to Willie.
Yeah, I understood that. But I say, is that his home place?
That was the old man Tobias Anderson's home place, all along that they built him a little block house, and then they taken and cut the old house down to a small house for his mother. She didn't like that idea of living in that
little
block house. Well, it wasn't good enough for them, and anyway,
They had one.
Oh, just one there.
Two bowls.
Just there. Just one bowl.
And they live next to Willie.
There are some bands far apart. I think from Willie is from here to that house down.
Really?
Well, then on. I see Bill Anderson lives on, what is the road that goes.
Oh, really?
One Willie lives on, you
well.
Know. Bill's on the corner of it here. And the one that grade that comes out there in front of Monroe's comes around this
yeah.
way. He's right in the corner of the
well,
two roads.
You think I feel ought to call him back? Yes, sir. Well, I
so
tell you.
You have to get Frankie to help you.
That's what a little neighbor of the children just talking now.
So he's been working. Tommy's been going out and helping him. His son-in-law, Tommy Dawg. He's been going out when he wasn't working and helping Willie in the daytime. And but see, Willie works nights, too. He works so much in the day. Well, he gets in at... I don't know what time child gets in. Him and Sybil's this way.
Yes. I tried to get that straight, too, miss. I couldn't... I never could get it straight. that's just one of the children next door who wants to talk. All I know is sometimes they have breakfast together.
Sometimes.
But he's got a lot to fence still, hasn't he?
I think he's about got it all. See, he joins his brother-in-law on one side. Ike Nixon and Everett Smith tiny on another. And then he's all clear on the side next to the road till he comes up here and joins Bill Anderson down that way away. And then when he gets down there he joins his brother-in-law and goes down that way, and I think he joins Everett in one little place, and I don't know if he don't join his nephew and then coming out to the road before you go up the woods. I remember when he bought that place, he was a long time getting it paid for. Went in the army and come out and still had to pay something on.
Yeah. And lucky he bought it way back there, wasn't it?
Yes, it didn't cost him too much. But
where did who did he get that from?
I think he bought it from Mr. May in Nakinoki.
Oh.
And a lot of people said it was a wonder old man May waited on him that long to get it paid off.
Yeah.
Well, he bought it. And then he got busy and he bought Rumba and built him a home on there and having to have pump put down too, you know, and all up together. Kind of kept his pocket pretty well stripped. At that time, Sybil wasn't working anyway. She was babysitting most of the time.
Yeah.
And he had that house built while he was working down at Irving. He was living down at Irving. Barbara was born down at Irving. And as soon as he could get his house built, they all went up there. And then, no, wait.
Oh, he didn't build that house.
I got my car ahead of the horse. He worked down at Irving, and I think he was having the house built all along, you know, as he could put out money on it. And then when he left Irving, he went up on another place that belonged, this is me place, I think, up there. I think Chambers at one time owned it, but I think May got hold of it. Like a lot of these big men, people can't pay the debts and the mortgage, the land of this one, that one, the other one. Anyway, they called the May place. Well, he lived up there. And Barbara started to school while they were living up there. But then they moved from, oh yeah, I got old Jackie way behind the cart. He worked at her. Then he moved up there and he drove a school bus. No, he didn't drive a school bus then. He lived there. I know that's where Barbara started school at. Anyway, lived at Irving because she was born there in 42. Mm-hmm. Well, then he come back up working for Albert, I think. Albert Zetram. I think it was, no, I'm not be sure of that. But anyway, he was living, Albert had bought this piece of land from me, and Albert Zetram's place. Now, whenever they talk about working there, so they, oh, I'm going up to the old May place. So, Willie worked there till when? Till he went over to Archer. Yeah, Archer. I went to working in that bombshell place over there. And when he left from there, he went to Camp Blandin in training. And Frankie worked over there a while. And then when Frankie come back from, when Frankie come back from over there, he went to working for, well, just working around, you know, different ones that he worked with. And then they called him to Camp Blandin. I told him about wore him out. Came from home to Camp Blandin.
Well, Willie didn't live in this house till a long time afterwards, then, did he?
No, see, he didn't get that house built. I just said I had the cart ahead of the horse.
Yeah.
But then, when he come home out of the army, he went to work. And he built that home, I reckon, with some of his, what do you call it?
Musking out
pay. And then he started driving school bus, and I think he finished paying for it that way. And finally got old man May paid up too, so it all belongs to Willie in our house, no.
Gee whiz. Well, he had a lot of paying to do. He had to pay old man May. Then he had to build the house. And then he put a pump in it. And all sorts of things. Gee whiz.
It was a long time before he ever got it fixed up, but he's got a beautiful living room. He's got it sealed up nice. I don't know whether he's finally got all of his bedrooms sealed up or not. In the kitchen and dining room, I think he's got them pretty well fixed up.
Yeah. But he built it. He done the work mostly.
Well,
oh, he had a little help.
He had others helping him, but he was living there when, yeah, I guess it was north. No, because Bobby wasn't old enough to go to school. Man, he's living up there on the old May place when he come back out of service. And he worked there for Albert Zetra, I think. I'm not sure. But I knew I was a trout owns it. And then well, he did work before he finally got his little house, frame house started up. But I think his school, maybe his school money, bus driving, probably paid for the house to be built.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he paid a tuition for Barbara. When she finished up high school, that she could take this course. I can't remember
what it
was, but it would have been big money to her and him too, but she backed down and didn't take it. I think it was getting her too far away from home. I don't know what it was connected with the airbase work or what. But anyway, she finally went, when she graduated, she then got her job up then, university up there. Picking holes in cards, she said. And Papa, you reckon he them that look? I says, about like this? And about that? Yes, ma'am. She said, no, just pick them four holes. I said, you reckon any of them ever comes back to me? She says, I don't know, Grandma.
So she's been up there a good while, hasn't she? Miss Kitty, this, he was building not too long after you all was building down there. How long was you all building? It didn't take you long, though, did it?
No, sir. We just tore one old house down and turned it around.
And you had a gardener to help you?
So-called.
just,
he claims to be a first-class carpenter.
Yeah.
But Frankie went to work in Ocala with a man, I can't think of his name now. He owned the place that Otis and Irene Young owns now, that's John and Willie.
Yeah.
And Otis Young, you know, he's a barber in McIntosh. But anyway, Frankie went to work with this man that owned the place, and I don't think he ever finished it up. Started and got it built so much, enough to live in for him and his wife. I don't know whether they had any children or not. But anyway, he was, I don't know where he was still living there, not when him and Frankie worked in Ocala. Frankie went on, probably been a little more than what he is in the carpenter's class, too. Then Frankie and Monroe, Martin, all of them worked up in Gainesville at the time their father died. They were all working up there. Well, they were working there, too, but they get so much time off, you know, and they were helping their daddy grind the cane, cooking the syrup.
Oh, yeah.
And he had one spell, and we had to send him to the hospital, send him over. The boys carried him over to McIntosh to Dr. Strange when he popped him in the hospital. And I'll never forget when he walked out, he said, turned around, and I have a room, you know, the bedroom where the fireplace was. Looked all around, walked out in the hall. And he says, well, he says, I don't know whether I'll ever see inside of you again. Well, boy, that's just like knocking me off of my feet to keep him from seeing me crying, that worried look on my face. I dodged in the kitchen and into the dining room. Then I come on out, that I kind of mustered up courage enough to go into the kissed him goodbye. I said, now, they don't go over and go worrying about things back here at home. I said, just let it be. It was like when you go off on a visit somewhere for a week or two or something. He says, well, my mammy, he quit calling me mama or anything. And mammy, he says, I'm taking my feet off the ground now. Says, and I doubt if I'll ever put my feet back on this ground alive. Well, he didn't ask to be brought back as he passed away. And we had him funeral home take care of him in a hotel. I've often wondered if that was one of the things he wanted to say and he just hated to.
Yeah. You knew Bill Anderson's father?
And he was pretty old wrong then, too.
Oh?
Bill, and I said there was three children of it. Bill. Bill's the youngest. And one living in Jacksonville. He's a great painter. Sign painter, you know.
Yeah.
And I reckon paint houses too if you're sad to say. Well, I know he does the sign painting. And can't tell his name now, but I think he was at Oaks. Then Rosalie, Mr. Jess Young's second wife. She married Mr. Jess Young, Otis's father. And she had, they lost their little girl when she was small. Four, five, six. I think she'd been going to school that year or would start the next year. I don't know. Anyway, this three. I think she's got three boys and that little girl. But I can't think of that brother Anderson.
Ms. Let me tell you, Mr. Old Man Anderson, he was an old man when you knew him.
Yes, sir, he was old when we come up here.
So you all never visited with him?
No, sir. He was a cranky man too.
Oh, he was.
He didn't want nobody to bother his doing. And then if any of your cows or your hogs come around and they didn't have some marking to show that they were yours, they were his.
Yes.
And hogs most especially.
Oh,
I see. Now, that's where, let me see. That's where Brother Jim went looking for his hogs one time.
I reckon so.
And if they didn't have your mark on them?
Everything that wasn't marked up was a mark. Did anybody know that mark belonged to a man called Tobias Anderson?
Yeah.
I remember Mr. B telling him a joke on him. Said that Joe Matthews, that was a cousin to my husband by marriage, Uncle Martin's son-in-law. And I can think these are people's
let me tell you. It don't matter all them names, and don't you bother your head about it. Now, tell me that story.
No man Phillips and several others around there. They live way off, you know. But you know, your hog's just going to ramble. And it was open land then.
Yes, and the animals traveled a long ways then, didn't they?
Yes, sir. Anyway, they said, couldn't you? And old man Phillips, and I don't know, there's several others. I told old man Anderson that if they ever caught any of their stock, and he had them pinned up, fresh marked, they were going to kill him. That was back in the days when they were bad up here. We wasn't here then. And Mr. B said, they got him and somebody else to go along, you know, and watch. And the scene, old man Anderson, not getting out. Mr. P says, there's Mr. Anderson. I said, he'd go along, whoop, whoop, beep, 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 whoop, whoop, whoop. I can't say like Mr. P did. Now, Mr. P, sometimes I'll say Mr. Mentor. That's it, was his name, you know, Mentor to P. He'd tell him, tabled on old man Anderson. He said, one time, said the thing, a beautiful moonlight night. Said nobody was, didn't intend to shoot or hurt anybody. Said, but they were going to scare him, because he didn't need moonlight nights, you know, get up. Get all outside stray hogs up.
Speak to him.
And then you got up there, whoop, whoop, dee, dee, dee. Then they got up a plate. Somewhere, anyway, they just guys that said something, I don't know, a sheet or what. But somebody told on my hands, he didn't mind, said, you better quit bothering the hogs over here. And they say Cousin Joe Matthews was, when he said he'd do anything, he didn't stand back.
Oh.
He'd go ahead. Cousin Joe walked up and said, yes, says, Tobias, I tell you right now, and cussed him, you know, and all. Cussing words, didn't cuss him, but cussed around. He says there's something going to happen to you on some of these moonlight nights. He says, I know that's when you do your stealing. And they did find him something, see where he'd been along. Must have had a sack or something. Corn on the cob, you know, going on, shelling it off. And I didn't see a cowboy chew it down. And the hogs had fallen. And so when this night that they planned to go out to see how far they could make him run, he was always on foot, you know, he'd have to be on foot because he couldn't go in here and yon and out with a horse or a mule, and the rest of them got to where they could take out after him. And said, somebody run out, they fired a gun straight up in the head. Said, old man Anderson, he began to shuffle through. Then all of them got together in the hoop and the holler, bam, bam, there he goes, there he goes. And said, Cousin Joe, I think John says, yes, sir, let me get close enough to the so-and-so and I'll shoot him down. Some of them says, no, Joe, you ain't going to get no closer than what you are. Said, old man Anderson was just going, somebody run out in front of him, you know, with a sheet over. Boys, and he fell over them and the other one went right on. Just stealing more hogs.
Oh, that cured him, did it?
He didn't bother me anymore back down on that side. I don't know if Mr. D wasn't the one that had a sheet around him over him.
But Mentor is the one that you heard tell about that.
Mm-hmm. Mentor the feet.
So he had to be on the ground to know what happened.
And when he come right out from a bunch of gallberry bushes or something right close to the road, you know. I'm fighting your brother. Come down to Tobias Anderson. Then he flipped over him and run over him, out through the wood and run over a big pine log. It was clean clear out. They just barked and everything was over. It was dead white log, you know, pine. He'd been that for longer than got white, you know, it had bark. I mean, the outside bark was off of it.
Uh-huh.
But the other sap bark was still there. That man didn't ask that log nothing. Said he hopped it in the bed. It was 3 feet off the ground where that man jumped it. Said, "Couldn't you let out a hoop?" And the rest of them threw up the gun, you know, and bam, bam, and the old fellow picked up a little more speed. They didn't follow him clear up to his house. But they didn't miss no more moonlight hogs going.
Now,
they told that old no man to buy Sanderson. And he had a son. No, grandson, Bill's son was named Tobias. Had a big name besides Tobias, you know. And they wanted to make him mad or anything. They'd call him, let me see. They called him Toby, you know, for short. Whenever they wanted to make him mad about something, they'd call him Tobias. Boy, because I know I got part of this, and I got part of my granddaddy's name. Says, but don't be calling me that. I'm used to Toby.
And that's Bill Anderson's boy.
Yeah, old man Tobias's grandson.
Yeah. Well, now Bill Anderson hadn't had much livestock. He carved on one thing or another mostly.
He had a few hogs to fuss about. And a few cows to fuss about.
Oh.
But I think he got rid of all of his hogs and all of his cows. And he was just letting Willie run through. See, the fence was down between them, just using his old field places, you know, for the cows. But here of late, I think he kind of, well, since he's retired and all, he's trying to build up the fence.
Oh, is he?
And I imagine the fence in between him and Willie will be pretty good fence, because when Willie and Frankie goes to put a fence up, he count on it being up.
Oh.
And they used to, Willie did, oh, he didn't want a cow on his place.
Willie didn't?
All he wanted was hogs, hogs, hogs. And Willie didn't want no cows. And lots of times, I think we asked him to put some of his yearlings in, you know, to kind of fatten up and grow up before he could sell them off or something. I don't think we cared much for cows till here in the last 19 years, I reckon. Martin got him started with cows.
Oh.
So Frankie had some of Martin's cows too. And the chicken came up to Willie's. About the time I think he was going to find a cave or something, you know. And then he started out with cows. Now when he goes off and there's any young calves around, the cows, he keeps feeding and he buys the hay for them. And ground feed too, and if he's going off and where's to be gone 2-3 days or something like that, and there should be the Frank is always called on to do feeding.
Oh.
Old Frankie ain't worth nothing. He don't do a thing. He wouldn't have nothing if you give it to him. Well, by golly's house, he got what he's got if he didn't work and get it and raise it. Now, all time bumping Frankie. I don't know how much longer I've got to be here, but they're going to get pretty rough on saying things about Frank somehow. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my little bit. As my youngest sister used to say, a cousin of ours, he did love to tease her.
Oh.
And she said, now, Cunlan, Cunlan, you better stop now. You better quit now, Cunlan. What's the matter? And then she, there's a song, when you get a good and mad, I thought he had a good and mad, he'd go to singing a little song, fall doll, diddle doll day, something like that. And she couldn't stand that. She says, I told you, Cunlan, you better quit. You're going to get my Dickinson hell stirred up directly. Dixon and Hill. She didn't say Dixon and Hill when she went to say it right together. She'd have to say Dixon and Hill. Get my Dickens and Hill stuck.
Now, who teased her? Frankie?
Mm-hmm. And then my youngest sister, our first cousin of ours, he delighted in teasing any of us.
Oh, they teased her.
And they found out she couldn't say Dixon.
Oh, yeah.
And Hill, right close together, that made it funnier to me than my Dickens and Hill.
Yeah.
And Mama did ask to cut Lonnie about it. Now, Lonnie, you know you oughtn't to do that. You know she can't use two words like that together. And but I was saying they're gonna keep on wrangling and tangling around and get me upset sometime. I'm afraid my Dickens in hell is gonna roll.
Because you know Frankie does some things.
Who's keeping up the fence around that place? All that fence. New wires and all. Who buys? Frankie. Who buys all them posts that's piled up there and has been piled and taken, put all around? But you know, a post ain't going to stay there forever.
Oh, they don't.
And most especially when you've got a neighbor on this side of you with a rip-ran, tearing-down bull on that side of you. With the same kind of animal.
Oh,
and they
man.
Get to fussing and pawing and butting the next thing you know.
Digging holes.
Digging holes, and next thing you know, the fence broke down.
Yeah.
Ring, ring. And almost tell when that phone's ringing trouble.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mr. Dancer across from us. His wife, he don't do the phone talking himself. He has his wife to do the calling up. Well, she was a great church worker, great church member. But she can use some profanery over the phone too, but
oh.
It's not nice for Frankie to use it back to her.
No.
But if Margaret gets hold of it, Miss Dantzler don't say too much, only say, tell Frankie that I'm sorry that his bull's over on our side the fence over here.
Yeah.
But if Frankie was to go and answer it, she might bless him out.
Uh-huh. She'd really get him.
And I'm afraid sometimes he's going to forget that he's a man and she's a woman and tell her something.
Dantzler. Now, I've heard that name, but I don't know them. Do they still live there?
They live right across the field from us. Right east of us.
Yeah.
On that road that goes around by the church.
Yeah.
They live about halfway from the road to our fence where they joined back there.
Yeah. Dantzler.
That is Sybil Chitty's uncle. Uncle Rhett. Rhett Dantzler. You know him any better than Uncle Rhett this, Uncle Rhett that, Uncle Rhett that.
Uncle Rhett Dantzler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Sybil's Uncle Rhett.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Rhett Dantzler.
That's who her mother was.
I see. On
her mother was a Dantzler.
Uh-huh. I see.
And I think...
Well, gee whiz.
And he's the only boy that lives to get grown. And he goes to church regular now in Sunday school.
Your church?
Yes, well, all grown is that Baptist church down there, but there's so much going on down there that I've got to worry on whether I give up down there or not.
Well, you know, I wondered about that.
Let's see, she's got an uncle. Let me see, there was Lily. There was old maid.
Miss Chitty, let me tell you. Don't remember all them. Let me ask you. Now, Uncle Rhett, is he good health and everything over there now?
Well, sometimes he has a little sickness, but
well,
he's been wrecked two or three times with a stroke and ain't got killed yet. Some of them told God, sure must be with you.
How about that? Well, now, he's, Sybil's uncle.
Only uncle she's got living.
Uh-huh. Well, is he a cattleman?
Yes, sir. He's got cattle over there. His black bull and Frankie's black bull and Frankie's, what do you call him? White face?
Yeah.
Perfect?
Yeah.
They was fussing about him all the time, breaking through and getting over there with their cows.
Yeah.
And, well, I think it's about 3 years ago. This fall, Frankie sold old Larry, that was his name, Larry. Got him.
That was his white face?
Got shut of him. Then he got him a black Angus. That's what Mr. Zetrouse got already. Cattle people, cows they on the place. Can you hardly tell none from that.
Yeah.
And he got shut of that one. He got this black Angus from Mr. Zetrat.
Yeah.
And now he's raising him from this old white face bull he had.
Oh, I
he's
see.
Got him one laying in the little field close to the house.
Yeah.
And now, that one there at the house, his daddy was a registered bull.
Yeah.
We've got papers on him. I did have on whether Frankie turned him in when he stole him to the stockyard or not.
Yeah. Well, now, they all, I tell you what, Frankie's pretty good natured, and they'd all, anybody like that always gets knocked, Mrs. Tiddy.
Yes, sir, I know that.
Yeah.
Frankie's got a temper, too, when you get it stirred.
Oh, he has.
Sometimes you get him mad enough, you get mad enough or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, cuss a sailor and ain't been on the ship either.
Oh, you mean he really can get started?
Oh, man, whenever he gets started, he's a bad little fella.
Well, what does it take to start him?
Sir?
What does it take to start him?
I couldn't tell you, but I know the boys sometimes get on his nerves so bad. Now there's Monroe. If he wants anything, well, say he'll go hunting in his truck.
Yeah.
Well, before Frankie got shut of his old truck, Monroe get awful young, getting bogged.
Yeah.
Well, Danny'd have to come running in, out of breath. Uncle Frankie, Daddy wants you to come with your truck, pull him out of the bog. He says, Frankie, you said over yonder, so and so and such and such place. He says, you run all that way here? He says, yes, sir. Frankie says, damn. Don't you know it's wet and stuff? I'll bog you back in there. I reckon so, Uncle Frankie, he says, but he's so bogged up. Just come bring your shovel and your chain.
Yeah.
And your old truck. Finally go for a Monroe. Maybe in 2 or 3 nights from now, he bogged up over yonder. So maybe he can get somewhere so he can get the phone call, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Frankie says, what are you doing here, Rick? Just getting off over there in them boggy places just to get me to come pull you out. I said, boy, I'm fixing to go to bed.
Oh, that's right. What happened to that truck? He had that old truck he had.
He sold it.
He did.
To a man in Gainesville, I think.
Yeah.
And then he had something else he sold.
Did he get a pretty good price for it?
I think he got $150 for it.
Oh, that's not bad. Of course, the body was rather smart.
Yes, Willie told him when he first told him about this fellow wanting to buy it. If I Frankie, he says, I'd offer it to $100. He says, but I'll tell you one thing. He says, I'd take that bar deal and the flat that goes with it.
Yeah.
To sell him the skeleton of the truck.
Yeah.
And that's lumber he had a flat, you know, back then. He could use it to haul wood, baled hay, anything like that on it.
Yeah.
And then if he wanted to haul something like corn or cows, he never hauled the cows in his. Then he was afraid it might not work.
Yeah, yeah.
But the body, the sides and the back gate, was pretty good because it never had been used much. But he let go for 150.
Well, it's hard, unless you're a pretty good trader. Is Frankie, he not much of a trader, is he? Some people just have a way about them, you know. They can get, some people get twice as much for an old wreck as another fella.
No, he hadn't drove that old truck over here, hadn't he?
I don't remember seeing it.
I don't know. Marsha Bread Wagon rolling around.
Yes. It's way on over there, though. See?
Yes.
Miss Kitty says, Frankie, when he gets started, his language comes to him.
Oh, he does.
Horny boys that way. Irene is as good as Willis B. And a deep nut. Josh, I can give him that nut. He can do as well as his uncle-in-law.
Oh, really?
His uncle-in-law.
As well as Uncle...
Old Man Rhett.
That's yes, right. Old Man Rhett.
Call him...
Old Man Rhett? He's pretty good, too?
Let me tell you something. Before they built that block church there, years ago, when my husband was living, that man worked his place, worked for Charlie Gray, cousin Charlie Gray, rather. And most of what he had to do for cousin Charlie was to get the cows up, change them from one place to another. And he'd wait till Sunday morning to change them cows. So, you know, cows are going to run anywhere and everywhere and all around and about. See? His wife in that teaching, or had been teaching Sunday school class outside, and he'd come in while she played the piano. And Mr. Dantzler, he looked like he'd just wait till things were about to get ready for singing and prayer and all. He'd come on that horse and Mr. Wow, where's his horse or cousin Charlie's horse? Anyway, he'd come a racking around up there. Hoo-wee! Yay! Come in there! Get around there! Whack! Could go to that old cow whip, you know. And he'd haul, you better get in there, you so-and-so! Right there on the church ground.
Oh.
That's the kind of Christian he was.
Right. Now, wait a minute, Miss Kitty. I don't believe, I'm not sure that I got everything about that. Now, that's...
He'd be driving Charlie Gray's cows from one field to another. Maybe he won't change, turn them in the field right there at the church. And that was his Sunday morning's job. And so he'd come to Sunday school and church with his wife. And doing that Saturday or doing it Monday, he must do it on Sunday morning. Drive the cows up. Maybe some of them knew, never had been in there before.
Yeah.
And, you know, get around there, you so-and-so. You get around there, you so-and-so. It's fine talking, fine voice, you know.
Oh, I had it right. It can't, you could hear it.
Then he'd, whoo-wee, get on in there. Oh, come on, get in there. And if they didn't move right on to, he let out and cuss.
Yeah. And he loved to do that during Sunday school and church. You think he planned it that way?
Well, his wife said that one day. At church, she said, you know, says I, and her and cousin Charlie Gray, he was driving the cows back and forth, cousin Charlie, you know? And she says, you know, Mr. Gray, says, I just can't see for the life of me why Rick don't move them cows on Saturday, I'll wait till Monday to do it.
Yeah.
Cousin Charlie says, well, Irene, I reckon He just wants to show off on the Lord's Day. Preachers even talk to him. Sunday school teachers even talk to him. She was a teacher too.
Oh, they talked. They spoke to him about it.
Cousin Charlie told him about it. He says, "Rhett, he says you have plenty of time in the week to drive cows. Says, why don't you take it that way?" "Oh, I just don't have time, Charlie."
He wouldn't drive.
Thank you, ma'am. That was good.
He wouldn't drive him by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I can't handle one cow by myself.
You can have 15, 20, maybe a 25, bring it all hurdled up around the church, saying, "Look, popping the whip. Baby, I like you." So on, so on. His sister, Miss Mixon, she. You'd say she sung in the choir, you know, and you'd slip her hand up. And it's strange.
Yes.
Man, her husband, he. And I never did hear Mr. Mixon say but two, what I'd call, curse words. He says, "The devil's going to get you for telling a lie." He says, "And he's going to take you right on to hell." That's all I ever heard Ben Mixon say about telling a lie and the devil, and you're going to hell. That's all I've ever heard him using and profaning like that.
Now let me see, Miss Kitty. let me get this straight. Uncle Rhett is
Sybil's uncle.
That means he's Miss Lily's brother?
Yeah, yes.
But Miss Lily wasn't like that.
I never heard her use curse words.
I mean, she wasn't high strung and everything.
And his mother wasn't. And I don't think his father was. He just won that. He just had to have everything like old Tobias Sampson. He had to have it his way, or it wasn't one.
Oh, there's two of a kind.
Oh, the old man Tobias Anderson never did go to church. Unless he come up to Shiloh, and I see he went to church Shiloh, I don't know that either. But I know he never went to the Baptist church at Remington. And that was before this block church was built, and the other old church was torn down.
Yeah.
And we probably could have got that old church and built more on to the house when we built it. No, nobody didn't want to sell it. And somebody up back, down by the hotel, come up say, Rick didn't want to let the church go. Well, there was Cousin Charlie Gray, Mr. Furman Smoke. No, Furman Smoke wasn't living. That'd be Harry's father, but they weren't living. And Mr. Smoke wasn't. But Frank, Cousin Charlie, several of the older men were still living. At the time, no one did. He wasn't. My husband wasn't because his funeral services was in the church, in the old church. But after that, they were working and hauling, and I bet if one man put $100 in at, well, you know, he couldn't put it all at one time. Say maybe he put his, they want to know about how much you thought you could put in the treasure at a certain time for a new church. Well, we'd have every fifth Sunday, we have dinner on the ground. Well, we'd have a lot of people, you see, to collect from.